Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining. Drop, keep screaming for more. Dragon Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Happy birthday, America.
America, happy birthday. Yes.
Happy birthday.
250 years old.
Don't look a day over 247.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. I had a fun day yesterday. I hope everybody had a great day yesterday. And
better than our Canadian friends had. Bounced from the World Cup 3-0 to Morocco.
Wow.
And lost to a couple of musical instruments that you'd find in kindergarten.
So anyway. Yeah, that's great. It's a great time to be alive right now, and I guess any time you're alive is a great time to be alive, isn't it? So anyway, but
I don't know. Right about the time that meteor took out the dinosaurs was probably a terrible time to be alive.
Yeah, there's that. Anyway,
we didn't know what hit them.
We hope everybody had a safe time and looked like there was a few incidents with. Barges blowing up, and
well, I can tell you from firsthand knowledge that Panini Pete's barge Thursday night did not blow up.
I'm sorry, I couldn't make. I mean, I could have made it, but I had already been across that bayway twice that day, and I wasn't about to get in my car and fight that mess to go back over there.
So the event started at 6, right at the waterfront. Yeah. For those who don't know, that Panini Pete threw a big 4th of July bash on July 2nd so that people would still be available to go to the regular 4th of July stuff, live bands, live music, like multiple groups playing at the same time. Mm. Like there's a guitarist in here, there's a guitarist out there, wonderful food, and he had a barge right out there in the bay for a fireworks extravaganza when the event ended at 9 o'clock. To get there at 6, Michael, we left Sims at 4:30.
Wow.
I arrived at 5:59. I mean, even coming, I mean, we didn't do a tunnel. We come over Africatown Cochrane Bridge.
And it was still backed up on
that
road.
Once you got over the bridge is when it backed up. Yeah. And it was just the traffic light coming out of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Once you got past traffic light, everything cleared up. But
how was it by the battleship?
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't nothing going on that night. It was yesterday. It was the problem.
That's what I was about to ask.
Getting in and out of the battleship.
Yeah, this was Thursday night. Like I tell people, you know, the difference between the Bayway and the Causeway in time, if there's no traffic at all, you only save 2 minutes going the Bayway. That's the most you can save is 2 minutes, 120 seconds. So why chance it?
Yeah.
And then the people that get on the Bayway halfway across, like, well, now you're just saving 60 seconds, but the Bayway was backed up.
And not your sanity.
Yeah, but the Bayway was backed up at the halfway point. The Causeway was flowing clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, why are these people trying to get on the interstate here?
That's why I always take the Causeway.
Yep. You know, someone always should name a beer, take the Causeway. Maybe an IPA, I'm thinking.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
One of our local breweries.
Yeah, Steve. In case you didn't know, Fairhope Brewing, I think their most popular beer is to take the Causeway IPA.
I would. They got a couple of
them. The Amber is good. Now, you and I both love the Judge Roybean Stout.
Yes.
That is an outstanding.
That's
a coffee stout.
That's the one that got me to drinking stouts.
Yeah.
Which is my preferred beverage now. So.
It the stout is the same notes that you look for in coffee and dark chocolate. Both of those are notes that you'll see in it and additions that you'll see to them. Mike knows I once made ice cream for a beer pairing dinner at Lucky, and I made the ice cream with Stuart Smith's double chocolate stout. And that it was vanilla ice cream with a bottle of that added to it, and it is the best Avgham ice cream I've ever tasted.
Isn't this a weekend for stuff? I thought this would be, you know, the 4th of July was a lager.
Most of the time
weekend.
You're going to drink the lighter stuff, your lagers, your Pilsners, the
Pilsners,
IPAs. Which
my favorite lager is Red Stripe, by the way.
It's a good lager. I do like Red Stripe.
It's from Jamaica Mon.
And Jamaica Mon. Foster's is a lager, too, I believe. It's Australian for beer, by the
way.
And also, Red Stripe makes stouts.
Do they really?
Yes, they do. They make Dragon Stout. And now that Guinness owns Red Stripe, they make Guinness, too, for them, under the supervision of the Guinness Brewing Company.
Just about to ask if that's an Irish brand or not.
Yeah, that is. And
The brewery is in Dublin and has been.
I mean, which more American? You know what I mean?
But hey, did we mention this is the Sip and Chew show? I don't think we did, but I hope people know this.
I think the song is the beginning.
The intro kind of does that for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
So it's America's birthday.
I want too many red stripes over here.
I want a red stripe now. It's too hot. It's too hot for bushwhackers. I want a red stripe.
You don't even want to get me started on stories on bushwhackers.
Oh, I could tell you.
They used to do a bushwhacker fest at Pensacola Beach. Oh, man, I don't remember the endings.
I could tell you some funny stuff.
I was recently reading about the history of the bushwhacker. And although most people identify it to Floribama, they did not invent it.
No.
I can't remember who it was.
It's
a liquor guy here knows. Was it in
It was New a real Orleans? Famous bar on the beach there in Pensacola.
Okay, Pensacola.
Bushwhackers. It was called Bushwhackers. They invented the bushwhacker originally.
Kind of like a
Roman. We'll find out before the show's over with. But there,
if only you had a device where you could just type the question into it and it'd tell you the answer.
So where was it?
Where are we now that we don't have devices that would do that?
It's got a different name.
We've walked on the moon. We still don't have a device.
I see what you're saying. You're saying it's not that now. Yeah. But that's what it was. That was the origination. Yeah, because I remember that was why I was sucked
in.
Well,
what is it? What? Look it up.
You know what the first cocktail in history was, Michael?
I've heard that story before.
Yeah. It's the Sazerac. Okay. America invented the cocktail.
According to research, if you will, the Bushwhacker is a creamy frozen adult milkshake invented in 1975 at the Ship's Store at Sapphire Pub in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands.
Okay.
That's what I had read, the St. Thomas. Now that you say it, that clicks. But I only discovered it because I recently was looking into it.
But I was told a fib.
No, it's the first. There was a bar in Pensacola that was the first bar ever to serve it
in the U.S.
Okay, then that would have been Bushwhackers there at the beach.
Does it have a different name now? Does that place still exist, or does it have a different name?
It has a different name now, but I'll have to.
Michael, being both a bushwhacker apologist and a Mississippian.
Apologist.
What is the difference between a Mississippi mudslide and a bushwhacker? Is it?
The
they're both
rum,
chocolate
maybe?
Shakes with alcohol in them.
The amount of rum, maybe.
Yeah. A bushwhacker is dangerous because it just feels like you're drinking a chocolate milkshake.
Yeah,
but it sneaks up.
That's
on
what
you.
Gets you.
We were. I was judging a World Food Championship event at the Floribama. And one of the judges was next to me, and his daughter came up. She goes, Mama had to take Grandpa back to the hotel. And he goes, is he okay? He had 3 bushwhackers. And he said,
sand shaker. Sand shaker.
That's it.
Yep.
The sand shaker.
Yep.
That's the one I was always told was.
Yep.
But it's
then it turned to bushwhackers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now it makes sense.
Now it makes totally. Yeah. I have no idea what it is.
But it makes sense.
Senior Frogs, I think, is his in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mike and I have both alluded to over the 14 years that we've done this show that we do not spend enough time in Pensacola.
We
venture out, it's almost always to Mississippi, and they're the same distance.
Well, it took me, I've been down here 30 years or better, 37 years now, and my daughter's 35, so that kind of makes sense. But I did not know, going to Fort Walton Beach, recently, I thought Destin was like still another hour down there. It's 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, right next to you. You've got Mary Esther.
Right over
it's
my head.
I think
it's
Mary Esther,
City
Fort Walton, Destin.
Navarre.
And then Fort Walton Beach.
Fort Walton, Navarre. Yeah.
And then Grayton Beach. Have you been to Grayton Beach?
Navarre,
I have not.
Navarre, Fort Walton, then Sandestin. Yeah.
Grayton Beach is like the best beach on the Emerald Coast, because the tourists don't know about it.
Disagree.
Well, you got
Johnson Beach. Well, there's not a lot of people.
You got
there.
Watercolor, Johnson you got Beach. Grayton, you got Seaside. What's the little,
Seaside. Seaside is a contrived town.
Everybody knows about Seaside.
And a beautiful place with lots of.
Well, they're all there. If you just go down 30A and hit them all, you fall in love
with
the area.
What's the great bar? Red Bar, is that the name of it? That it's just super funky and cool. Mm. Just a great place. But that whole area down there, Mike and I, we don't spend enough time there.
Or don't have even money to spend on it. 251-343-1067.
Yeah, that's the right number.
Call and tell us your bushwhacker stories.
Just fresh feed for chickens to deer, straight from our G&D farm. We use it so we know it. Sustainably grown, and 4 out of 5 chickens prefer it. So come see us at G&D Farms in Tanner Williams. I promise it's worth the trip.
For more than a decade, they are the dynamic duo of dining.
When you say you don't remember which hurricane
on FM Talk 106.5.
Hurricane number 2, number 3, or number 4 that day.
That week.
No, I'm talking about Mike having 3 or 4 hurricanes in the day.
Oh, hurricanes.
No, yeah. we were talking off air about what Sand Shaker, that was the nickname of it. It was really never officially the name of it. Yeah. It was Captain Fun Beach Club. But now I believe if you're walking on the boardwalk right there by the seashell, it is they've absorbed that into Senor Frogs, but I'm not 100% sure.
What always amazed me is, because I used to go to Louisiana a lot, New Orleans a lot, and I'd say, and you go to the beach, you go anywhere from Dolphin Island, Gulf Shores, to Panama City Beach, wherever. Bushwhackers are sold everywhere. Mm-hmm. And if you look in the parking lot, there are Louisiana tags everywhere. You go to New Orleans and ask for a bushwhacker, and they look at you like you're stupid.
They don't have any bushwhackers in New Orleans?
They do now.
Oh, I was going to say.
They just now do. But they
They're Hurricane City.
Well, they are, and I
they
guess
also they also had 170 other milkshakes with alcohol in it you could get.
Well, they'll ask, half of them taste just like a. Are you talking about a mudslide? I said, do you ever go to Pensacola, or do you go to Florida? Oh yeah, we go out because they're young people. Mm-hmm. I said, didn't you have a bushwhacker? Yeah. No. How come y'all don't have them over here?
It's rum and pretty much rum
and chocolate ice cream.
That's it. Yeah.
like who was the comedian? Ron White. His wife and some girls went to the Floribama, and he was going to be there signing vodka bottles at the package store across the street. And so his wife said, you got to get a bushwhacker. And so he went in and got a bushwhacker, and he was on YouTube, and you could see it. And he just like goes, well, I can't say the words he said, but he was talking, this is nothing but pure alcohol in a chocolate milk. Alcohol, you know.
Pretty much how it's disguised.
Yep. But boy, they taste good going down.
Yeah, until you make your third one, you don't even remember it.
I've had more than that.
Oh, yeah.
I've had more than that.
This dude puts
a
shot of whiskey in his. He gets an extra
topper.
Shot.
Yeah, you get a topper.
What?
Yeah.
You got a death wish? What?
Look, it was a fun day. Hey, we had lunch.
Here comes the rationalization.
And I got in.
And he only does that on days of the week that end in a Y.
And I got in a competition with a friend of mine's daughter about who could drink the most bushwhackers. Guess what? I won.
Well, apparently it wasn't just that one day because there was no daughter the day that I went with you and you drank a bunch of bushwhackers.
But I'm going to tell you, on the way back, I think it was his driving.
Yeah,
because he was swerving, you know.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was the driving.
You mean the tree got out in the road?
And it took what normally to
he's claiming motion sickness.
It took us 35 minutes to get down there, but it took about 3.5 hours to get home. We made a lot of sightseeing road stops along the way.
Hey, so on a weekend like this, you've got more than just bushwhackers, like you said. You've got 1,000 other malt drinks or sugar drinks. What, I mean, margaritas aren't the big. That's Cinco de Mayo. What's the big drink this weekend?
Here, it's mudslides.
Bushwhacker.
You know,
whatever you're calling the
beer's
chocolate milkshake
always the big
booze
one,
in it.
Yeah, but you're going to see more beer than anything drink down at the bars at the beach. Because I just can't.
Land shark, when you say Mike.
Bushwhackers are
this
harsh.
This is National Land Shark Weekend.
What is that?
That was a beer that Jimmy Buffett did that wasn't great.
Oh.
It's still around.
Yeah, still around. It's a lot of that. It's in fact, I just.
Just for the association?
Yeah, exactly. It's just associated with that. I just did some research looking into celebrity spirits and how many of them are just cash grabs versus how many of them are genuine spirits.
Right, right.
And like Metallica has this blackened American whiskey, and it's just run-of-the-mill whiskey that they buy and then put it in this charred oak cask that used to have prune juice or something stupid.
Not like Cabo Wabo.
And then they, I mean, that's, you know, see, that's a premium tequila.
Yeah.
That's Sammy Hager,
yeah,
who helped Guy Fieri
with his Charles Barkley's Red Mott Vodka is distilled in Birmingham.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Aviator Gin, that is Ryan Reynolds, which is just a, what is it, Ross and Squibbs. That's the big, there's a place in Indiana, a factory that makes like 40% of the whiskeys on the market.
Oh.
And they're all the same whiskey.
You just put your label
on.
Yeah. See, that happens out in California with wine.
Yeah. But like Metallica's like that. Bob Dylan's bourbon is like that.
Bob Dylan
has his own bourbon, and it's just swill.
I dealt with this lady who had her own winery, and her daddy set her up. And her wine got really good ratings. So I ordered a pallet, and we sold it. It sold good. It was a Chardonnay, a really nice Chardonnay, and it was about $30 a bottle. And then one day I got another pallet in. It's about the fourth time I've reordered it, and I got this pallet in. It had no labels and no caps covers on the top. And I called her. I said, "What's this?" Come find out, she had a company like that just making her. She'd just go in and sample different wines and find the one she liked and said, "All right, I want this one, and I'm going to put my label on it."
Yeah.
And she did. Well, we got a pallet in that they forgot to put the label on, and so I had to send that back, and the ABC board came in, and, you know, I had to stick it way over in the corner until we sent it back. Couldn't touch it.
Right.
Couldn't breathe on it. And so we sent it back. Then we got there. Anyway, it kind of disheartened me a little bit. I said, "She didn't make this wine, you know." Yeah. She just went and got it bottled for her. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot because, as you know, I dealt with a celebrity doing his label.
Mm-hmm.
And people will buy it one time and get that autograph, and then they'll never buy it again.
Some of these are not meant to be drunk. They're meant to go on a shelf next to your autograph picture of Willie Mays or you know.
Coca-Cola bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, they're commemorative, basically.
Yeah.
But it still comes down to all the celebrities involved in these kind of things have a passion. But what is the passion? If it's artistic, then you're going to be like The Rock. His tequila is the real deal.
Okay.
You know what? I'm on his Facebook page. His email.
Stalker.
I'm on his email, and he's involved in it, just like Guy Fieri is with that and the cigars, because both Sammy Hagar and – the cigar guy told him, he said, "No, we're not. You're just going to put your name on it. You're going to have to go work this product."
Yeah.
And they do. He does.
Yeah.
He
goes and, out the, and they're it. Involved in what the product is and everything because their passion is that. The other passion, in the cases of Bob Dylan, Metallica, and all that, their passion is making money.
Yeah.
Rent your name out. Just rent your name out.
So on The Rock, I'm kind of curious with his. It's more agave based, isn't it? I thought.
Oh, it's a pure tequila. Or is it a mezcal? Which the only difference between tequila and mezcal is there's only, I think, three provinces in Mexico that can call what they make tequila.
Mm-hmm.
And
just
if you're one of the other three ones, you have to call it mezcal.
Just like champagne.
Well, his is Hawaiian-based, I thought. Right.
He's using the Hawaiian name because he has a Polynesian background.
Yeah.
But I don't know that blue agave will grow in Hawaii. I don't know that it won't. I just know that 99.9% of it grows in Mexico.
Okay.
In Central America.
You got a real dry, desertly light.
Research.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, there's a place down on Highway 98, speaking of, we were in the Pensacola area, a place called Distillery 98, and really huge place. And they're all local, you know, several down in that area, actually.
We've got a bunch of them that have popped up. all around the state, there's a. We already mentioned Redmont, which is in Birmingham. They do vodka and gin. And then we've got friends, Seth Detling up in Atmore does whiskey. It does a great rye, too. But Seth's whiskey's very good.
Oh, yeah.
Detling is probably my favorite Alabama spirits right now.
Mm-hmm. He keeps inviting us to come out to see his new facility. We got to go.
Yeah. What you doing after the show?
I can't do it today.
Yeah,
need more.
See, that's always
we have to let him know.
Yeah.
We have to set it up, you know. So... It's a ride over there in Atmore.
Yeah, yeah, but distilling has grown back. It's returned. When we first colonized America, everybody distilled their own spirits. Okay. They made their own wine. They made their own beer.
I got the answer. The agave used for Dwayne the Rock Johnson's tequila Terramana comes exclusively from the high elevation peaks of the Jalisco Highlands in Mexico.
Jalisco.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. 251-343-0106 if you want to correct my Spanish.
I like ice cream. What's this? This is juice. Uh-oh. I don't like juice. Chicken, ice cream, fish. I like ice cream. What's this? This is juice.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Yes, back to us. So,
whatever this
what
is.
What are we talking about now?
fourth
of July. Oh, we got to wish Sean Sullivan happy birthday.
Yes, we did. Yesterday was Uncle Sam's birthday. Today's Uncle Sean's.
Yes, so happy birthday, Sean Sullivan. I hope you have a great time this weekend. They blew all the fireworks for you last night, buddy.
Yep. All of them celebrating you hanging out on Earth for, what,
ever how many
40
years
or something like that. So, 250th anniversary of America.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all 250, which was your favorite 4th of July celebration? I mean, the first one was probably kind of like, hey, we're free.
Well, about 50 years ago when I graduated from high school. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
So, hey, I don't know. I remember, you know, I have great memories of when Brandon was little and I had a pick-em-up truck and we'd go there before Home Depot was built in this shopping center that's half mostly empty. You used to cassette in front of Davidson High School, wherever, up down the airport, and they used to fire a great fireworks show over there on Mont Lamar long before this lot of development.
Yeah. And I remember as a kid going to Ladd Stadium.
Well.
And not enjoying any part of it.
Well,
long and boring concerts of bands you've never heard of because you're 5 years old.
Well, let me tell you.
And then the fireworks were so loud, every kid in there was covering their heads.
Let me tell you. I lived in Pritchard, Alabama back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Pritchard Park. It was an all-day event there. They had grease pigs. They had swimming competition. They had grease poles. I'm sorry to say, grease pole. Where they put a $20 bill up there, and you got to climb the pole to try to get the $20 bill. And people made it. They had wheelbarrow softball. They had events all day long on the 4th of July and Labor Day. And then at night before the fireworks, George Wallace would come and speak. Mm-hmm. And he was a fiery little guy. I mean, he was like an old Southern preacher, you know, beating on the podium. And a lot of people thought he was, you know, he was a mad man and a angry man, but he was just getting people's attention. He got it back those days. But that was every 4th of July and Labor Day when I was a kid. That was all the time George Wallace came. When he came and when he was running for president, that was like Pritchard turned into like 500 million people that day because they were all waiting for him to get there.
Yeah.
But it was a fun event in Pritchard, and it was a safe time then. Pritchard was a beautiful little community then, and I would love to see it get back to that. But we had some wonderful 4th of July's there at Pritchard. I just lived a block away from Pritchard Park back in those days in the 60s. And great fond memories of it. And then the fireworks show. Boom. Yeah. And then we'd run around like dumb little barefooted kids.
Rednecks.
All day, just our swimming trunks and barefooted and no shirt and picking up the pieces that were burned out and taking them home with us. Your mother go, "What are you going to do with that?" "I'm going to make my own fireworks." Yeah, right. So some of them be hot still when you pick them up. Yeah. Anyway.
Now, I had one 4th of July in Nashville where we went. There's I believe it is the Nashville Museum of Science is the name of it. But there's a science museum there, you know, not unlike the Explorium, but it's on a big hill. And on 4th of July, people would go and throw out blankets on that hill because you could see all the way to downtown Nashville and see the fireworks display that was on the Cumberland River at the foot of Broad Street without having to deal with all the crowds that were in downtown Nashville at the foot of Broad Street for the fireworks show. Because, I mean, you're looking at a city of around 1 million back then. Oh, yeah. So there was probably 300,000 or 400,000 people in downtown Nashville. That's a whole lot of traffic and a whole lot of people. So we'd go out to the science museum. We could see the fireworks just fine.
They didn't have Uber back then.
No, they did not. They had taxi cabs, though. Never took a cab the entire time I was in Nashville. In fact, my taxi cab riding is limited to Los Angeles, New Orleans, and Chicago. I believe that's the only place I've ever taken a cab. Because in Mobile, I always knew somebody. In Nashville, I always knew somebody. So.
Chicago's got a great bus transit system.
I'll take your word for
it. Their drivers have no personality, but everybody in Chicago was really nice except for the bus drivers.
You know, now that I think about it, I never did take a cab in Chicago. The first trip there was with a friend, so she drove everywhere, and the second trip there was on that chef's challenge that I was in with that grocery store out of California, Safeway. Where they flew me up there to compete, and that was limousine service everywhere we went. Not stretch limousine, just big black car. I'll still take it. I didn't have to drive in Chicago. Somebody else did. So and they still had my name on a card when I got off the airplane.
We had when I got out to Seattle, they had these beautiful black Continentals and beautiful.
Yeah, that's basically
And it was limousine service, and it was cheaper than a cab.
It really was for me because it was free. But the New Orleans cab experience was my dad, my brother, and I, and the whole family was in New Orleans for a weekend. And we were going to go to Ralph and Cacu's on Toulouse Street. And we were trying to find a parking place. And Steve just kept making the loop after dropping everybody off. And then finally he said, "We're almost at the hotel at Metairie. Why don't we just go at the hotel and take a cab back over?" And that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law had already secured a parking spot, you know, with their hotel. So we had a car downtown. We just didn't have our car. And we're taking the cab back into the city. And the cab driver, and my brother's having to sit in the front seat because there's three of us. And they're just talking. And I looked at my dad. I go, "Can you understand anything either one of them are saying?" And my dad goes, "No, I don't." And Steve had spent enough time in New Orleans that he had learned to pick up the Creole accent. I think the guy was speaking English, but he had such a heavy Creole accent, it was hard to understand. But
I love Creole.
The food, the accent, the music.
I like the food.
The ladies.
The women.
The seasoning.
I've been to some fun events over there, food events, and yeah, the Creole women are beautiful, and the food's phenomenal.
Yeah,
and you want spicy? I mean, personality.
Wow.
So anyway,
yeah, to me,
food. Oh, we're thinking food. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
to me, if I got to eat a meal in any city in the world, it's going to be New Orleans first. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put Paris behind it. If you look at all the Europeans that are hanging out over here for FIFA, they'll tell you, too, there's nothing in France that compares to America for food. Nothing in Italy compares with us. Mm. And here's the main reasons. What kind of cuisine do you have in France? French cuisine. What else do you have? Nothing. Italy, what do you have? Italian food. What else do you have? That's it. What do you have in America? Every cuisine known to me.
I don't know about Paris, Okay.
Oh, yeah, there'll be some Paris. Yeah. Paris. And, you know, you've got curry and
well, I can't speak for Paris because the only meal I've had was at a McDonald's by the train station in Paris. Got back on the train.
You really went all out.
Came back to Bordeaux. But I had some phenomenal meals all along the Mediterranean coast from Bordeaux down. We ate at a castle, and we had a four-hour dinner, four-hour meal.
But you had the same cuisine.
Some real Jamaican jerk chicken.
Oh,
but, dude.
But during this 4 hours, we had a five-course dessert. Five courses of dessert.
And Mike was trying to figure out.
Where was that?
It was in a castle in Cordes, France.
Ooh.
And the castle had 13 bedrooms in it. It was a hotel.
Yeah.
And this this restaurant is hard to get into. And we were there because my son kept calling. He had our itinerary. Uh-huh. And we'd go, Mizu Bedi, Mizu Bedi. Son, we hadn't even got our entrees yet. I'll call you later. Yeah. And that's for, you know, you could do your cell phone in another country. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
But because I had to call the office from Chile, from Argentina one time, and it was like $120.
Yeah. International calling is not cheap. Yeah.
And there's no reason for it.
Well, it's not fine like now. It doesn't happen that way now, but back then, you couldn't get your cell phone to
take
it.
So that was like a B&B castle?
Huh?
Is this, you said a hotel, or is it more of a B&B?
I guess it's an Airbnb.
It's a real upscale hotel, and they had fine dining, and the chefs were world renowned, and they fed queens and presidents, and
nice. but the normal people there weren't ever eating there. How many people in Mobile have ever eaten at the Battle House? One out of every 5,000.
They eat at Mardi Gras. The bar, you know, the bar.
That's area, not.
They don't really.
That's
eat
not
after.
The trellis room.
They don't eat at the trellis room.
Yeah, it's like how many people in Mobile have eaten?
I guess I don't know.
I guarantee you, more people have from outside of Mobile have eaten at Lemoyne's Chop House than people from Mobile.
Maybe
the Battle House is the same thing like that too.
Why do you think?
Well,
that is?
It's a hotel, so most of the people there are visitors.
At one time, the Admiral Sims had a great buffet at lunch. It was. That's back when Henry Douglas was there, and they had a phenomenal buffet in there.
But locals don't tend to eat at restaurants in hotels.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're local. Why would they go to a hotel? So it's not an uncommon thing. It's, you look at the restaurants.
That's the first thing you think of when you go, hey, let's go out to eat tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, is go to a hotel.
Yeah.
Or a hospital.
Yeah.
You can go to a hospital and eat.
Well, it depends on the hospital.
Well, Spring
Hill's good.
Got great food.
One of the best omelets you'll ever eat.
One day I'm going to try.
Mike was in there for 3 weeks. All he heard was how good the omelet was, so guess what he didn't order?
The omelet.
Right.
I'll order that tomorrow.
I'll
guarantee you, most of it you were never excited about. That's the only thing I ate in the hospital that I got excited about was that omelet. Everything else, some of it would be good.
Everybody, order the omelet. I'm getting text messages, order the omelet.
Yeah.
And never did.
So what makes it so good?
I don't know. I don't work.
I mean, what's in it?
Egg and cheese.
Oh, there's no, you don't have any
it's
other
It's just a really good omelet.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there are options. But usually when you're in hospital, bacon and sausage aren't really big-time options.
The people who run the food service there also do catering.
Yeah.
And they do a phenomenal job catering, too.
Yeah.
They always have since that place.
On and off. Campus.
Because I was a teenager, I used to work for the catering service that was in there. And we did a lot of the Spring Hill stuff.
Yeah. But that omelet at Spring Hill, that is fire.
Best omelet I've ever had personally. Just me. And I know it's going to be a name brand, but it's IHOP.
Mm, yeah.
I really, that when they do an omelet, man, they do
an
omelet.
They do it like the Mile High.
You like an omelet that's got a little bit of pancake batter in it, do you?
No, it's just huge.
The Denver omelet.
Yeah. A little.
Yeah. The Denver omelet, it's got everything in it.
Yeah. The Colorado omelet, they had. I mean, they get.
Well, does they call it Colorado now?
Yeah, I think it is.
We used to call it the Mile High when I worked there.
Mercy, that thing.
But it's a Denver omelet. They're just given their own names. Yeah. Like Waffle House has their Fiesta omelet, which is a Denver omelet. But Waffle House has jalapenos instead of bell peppers, which that, you know, you give it a different name then.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 251-343-0106 is the call and text in line. Come on, folks. Where y'all at out there?
Just laying on the beach.
Love to hear from you.
Laying on the beach, baby.
In the wine, in the wine. Make me happy.
Make me happy.
Make me feel fine.
Make me feel fine.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Michael.
All right. What?
Bailey. What? Happy 250th America.
Thank you. You know, thank you, America.
Yeah.
Thank you for all you've given us.
Yep.
So,
hamburgers.
And hamburgers, french fries, hot dogs,
apple pie.
We fixed macaroni and cheese for the world because before America came along, it looked more like spaghetti with Alfredo sauce.
We stole spaghetti, changed corn.
Did we put the hole in the macaroni and cheese?
We used macaroni. That was what we did before.
How did they get that hole in there?
skill.
Okay.
That hole's what makes it macaroni.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Pasta with a hole in it or concave.
Because you don't see spaghetti being called macaroni spaghetti. But they make that.
It's called bucatini. Mike has had it before. Delicious. Mm-hmm. I mean, it tastes like every other pasta. They all taste exactly the same.
But it's the sauce.
Well,
and what you put in it.
Yeah, but the you know, the pastas, you pick the pasta to go with your sauce. You don't pick the pasta that you like because they all taste exactly the same. Angel hair pasta in no universe goes with Alfredo sauce.
No.
It won't stick to it. You're going to have a bowl of Alfredo at the bottom, and every time you pick up the angel hair, there's not going to be any sauce on it.
Right.
Because it won't stay on it. That's why you use bigger, flatter noodles for Alfredo.
I pretty much use fettuccine most of the time.
Yeah. That I like pepperdell, which is like a fettuccine, but it's about a half an inch wide.
I like those little seashell-looking things.
Those are called seashells. Yeah.
They catch sauce.
That's a macaroni. Yeah. Because of that concave thing, that's a type of macaroni. That's why shells and cheese is mac and cheese.
Guess what else this great country gave us?
Football. Real football.
Listeners.
Yeah.
Like Jarhead.
It gave us Jarheads, too.
It gave us Jarheads.
What's up, Jarhead? Happy America.
Good morning, fellas. I was just wondering if you guys survived the 4th.
Yeah. Around my house, it's pretty much like any other day.
All I had was 2 beers yesterday. 2 beers all day long.
Sinner.
Well, that's pretty good. I didn't have much more than that myself because I was afraid to get out and go anywhere. And then when I did get out before everything started, I don't think I seen but one police officer all day long.
That's because like, they were all working that night.
Where are they hiding?
Sleeping in because they got to work that night. Statistically, 4th of July, half the drivers on the road are legally drunk. It is the most dangerous night of the year, along with New Year's, to be in a car. And when I used to deliver pizza for Domino's, I saw it. Every 4th of July that I had to deliver, I came close to an accident 10 or 11 times a shift because of drunk drivers on 4th of July, which is why I tend not to go anywhere on 4th of July like you, Jarhead. So amateur drunk drivers. Amateurs.
Today is going to be the day for traffic. I mean,
no, next 2 days. Next two days. Yeah, Monday's just as bad.
Everybody's got to try to get back to work tomorrow.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people. I every year I travel that road, and when there's a holiday on the weekend, Monday is still always bad on the Bayway for sure, and on I-10 in our area. But what you got going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just getting ready to watch a race here about 6 o'clock this evening. I did have a PSA that I forgot to tell y'all about last week, and it was for the kids, you know, out there shooting all them fireworks. So that kids, fireworks are dangerous.
Yep.
Be careful. Leave it. Don't get out there and shoot fireworks. Leave it to the parents who have been drinking all day to do that dangerous stuff.
Yeah, because if they lose a finger, it's funny.
They've already lived their life.
Yeah. You still have something to look forward to in the future. Your parents, their life ended when you came along.
Pretty much. But there was some great fireworks last night. I didn't particularly shoot any. There's enough people around my neighborhood that I got to watch some great fireworks shows. Ran up to the – didn't even cook yesterday. Ran up to the store there in Satsuma. Got me a little rib plate and just sit back and chilled most of the day.
Satsuma Chevron.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, that's a good
some
place.
Tender rib.
Yeah, that's a good place. Mike and I both are very familiar with the Satsuma Chevron, and their barbecue is
good,
as good as any sit down restaurant in Mobile County.
Now he does with, if I'm not mistaken, he used to do it with a pellet smoker, and he may still do it, but it's still good.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, pellet smoker's still smoking,
and
still
everything on it.
Buffets. They were busy yesterday.
I bet they were.
With a boat ramp right down the road, I'm sure. They have done totally off subject, but since Jarhead is a North Mobilian, they have really done a nice job with that Steel Creek Marina. I went and checked it out maybe a year ago. A lot of upgrades, replaced a lot of the wood that had started to rot and stuff. Beautiful upgrades they've made to the Steel Creek Marina and that whole park up there in Satsuma.
Oh, I agree, because you know that place used to be owned by International Paper Company until it shut down, and then Satsuma took it over, and they have really turned that into a great place to go to.
There is a gigantic house on Steel Creek there. You can see it from the road, but it's easier to see from the water, that I believe used to be the International Paper Clubhouse for the bigwigs at IP. And
I never made it there. I know we went into the big house up there, mm-hmm. where we used to have the little parties and stuff. And yeah. Matter of fact, Satsuma had a graduation there a couple years ago. And and like I said, they have done some great upgrades, especially to the boat ramp and the docks.
Yeah, the
great
chapels.
Place to go lock the boat and go fish.
Got an indoor and an outdoor chapel. With the outdoor chapel, your background is the Mobile Tensaw Delta. It's a really great facility up there. That big farmhouse that they have probably seats close to 200 people if you put all the tables and chairs out inside. It's big. You got a decent little kitchen back in there with a couple of stoves, plenty of counter space. I've helped cater a wedding there once. And it's just a great little facility. And, Jerry, I don't know if you're a kayaker like myself, but they're on the back end of Vaughn. North Vaughn is a really nice free kayak launch in a little park down there on Gunnison that I really love that area.
That whole area up there, it feeds into the Delta. There's some beautiful places up there and to go.
Yes, I think Fairland needs to do a little work on their boat ramp over there on Bicera just to even come close to what Steel Creek is.
Yeah, Steel Creek's done a really nice job. And have you been on the water up in Gunnison and seen that paddle wheel that's up in there?
I've seen some years ago, but I haven't been up there in a long time.
It's a boathouse, Mike, and they have just fixed it up so it looks like a paddle wheel steamer. Ha! It's as cool as it can be, man. I love getting in my kayak, getting up in Gunnison. Great place. But Jarhead, you going to wish America anything before we say goodbye for the week?
Happy belated birthday, America, and Simplify and Provolone.
Provolone, buddy.
Appreciate hearing from you every week, buddy.
Well, goats. Goats.
Goats.
Greatest of all time.
The caller.
Yeah. Hey, listen, y'all get out there, be safe still. I know you're going to be popping them leftover fireworks, you know, get them out of the way, get them out of your system. But be sure to be careful on the road. Tip your servers. Servers earn your tips.
Well, they're earning them.
Yesterday, you should have been tipping 250% in the spirit of,
of America.
That's right. But if nothing else, man, just why don't y'all get out there and just provolone it.
Provolone for the next 250.
There you go.
Tried to amend my carnivorous habits. Made it nearly 7 days.